seat. Mr. Robertson, Mayor Delgado.
Vamos.
Okay, so this is now time to debate this item. So further questions, I believe that you had a question, Mr. Young.
I do, and both Kay and Abby said something similar. And could I ask Kay to come back up to the podium, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to swear her in first, Jeff?
No.
We're not very good at that. This is a friendly
exchange.
Okay. As friendly as it can be with Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious, but both of you seem to kind of not caution us, but I think state something that might be kind of obvious that. It may be really, really hard to allow any kind of use of pesticides and then be fully protective of water quality in adjacent surfaces, surface water bodies. Is that true?
I think what I commented to were the non-enforceable numeric targets that are in this TMDL that I think will inform future permits. They are not achievable.
Okay.
And so essentially what they do is prohibit the use of the products.
So, and they're not achievable because of what?
We actually, during the development in 2016, we asked staff to do a calculation how much pyrethroids could actually be applied in the different watersheds in order to achieve these. I think they're low enough that maybe one farm that is poorly managed could bust, that use pyrethroids could bust these. I don't have any basis for that. I just think they're essentially a substitute for saying we will tolerate zero detection. That is just my opinion. You're asking me my opinion. I think that we've had discussions with staff, and basically we were told if the growers can't meet these, then they shouldn't use the products. If they can't meet these targets, they shouldn't use the products. So that's the only conclusion I can come to. I don't think, you know, the PAM will be great if we can get it to work. It can reduce sediment loading by, 90%+. But we will never be able to eliminate sediment, never.
Do we agree that the mechanism for getting pesticides and pyrethroids into adjacent water bodies is through sediment transport? Is that kind of?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. So do buffers, properly built buffers, do they help with that control?
I don't think so. I'm not a big proponent of buffers. I see the data from other parts of the country. I've seen data here that shows that it doesn't necessarily work. We have channelized streams versus we don't really have overland runoff the way they may have in the Midwest. Everything's channelized and the ditches are very V-shaped versus broad ditches, and the majority of the sediment borne in water doesn't even come into contact with the vegetation. It is it's very expensive to do. The annual cost for a linear foot of annual is about $900, and for perennials about $1,800. My growers have tried these, and there is very very hard to establish. You have to irrigate them, basically. You're having to irrigate these buffer strips. What we find often is that you plant them the very first rain. For some reason on the Central Coast, a lot of times is a really hard rain before you have the buffer strip. I have a client that's been experimenting, putting them at various places, and the biggest problem they're having is it collects trash and it creates a food safety issue. They are a food safety issue. They do create habitat for mice. So when you look at the efficacy compared to some of the disadvantages, I don't think they're the panacea that the conservation community tells us they are.
Is there any method?
PAM. I think it's the, PAM.
All right, thank you very much.
But we were talking about pyrethroids. My overarching concern is this one-by-one approach to addressing pesticides. So in 2012, we addressed organophosphates, essentially eliminated the use of diazinon and chlorpyrifos. Now we're addressing pyrethroids. We expect to see these standards in the Ag Waiver 4.0. The regional boards also decided that they're going to focus on neonics. If we lose organophosphates, neonics, and pyrethroids at the same time, this is going to be very problematic.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
But let me just ask this of you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch roles. We've got to protect beneficial uses. How do we do that?
You concentrate on the mitigations, and I don't think establishing unachievable targets does anything.
What kind of mitigation?
Where's the money to develop this? There is none. We are developing these management practices individually on our own. So that is, and what I'm suggesting is we have a bit of myopia. We're focused on a single resource sort of in a vacuum, and this has bigger implications. The decisions that you're making have bigger implications. That's really my point.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
So Mr. Johnson indicating in the past that he's kind of the tail end of a question, so I'll start with you.
I wasn't complaining.
No, you were observing.
I was observing. No, I don't have any questions.
All right.
At this point.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes. to staff, I think it's indicative of the progress that the growers and other stakeholders and staff have made since the last time we heard this issue, where there was substantial objection, concern a year ago. Is there any substantial objection or concern? I haven't heard it today. I haven't seen it in the staff report of comments submitted by the public. So I just wanted to, is there anyone that's not yet? We're done with public comments, so. Is there any objection to what we're doing today from the public that you've heard?
Jessica wants to say something about that. So there are not many people here today, but many reservations were expressed previously in the comments, and those were kind of incorporated at our last board meeting and incorporated in this today. So I don't want the lack of participation today to demonstrate that there's no objection at all to this TMDL. They've already made their comments, I believe.
And to supplement that, you know, we only had three speaker cards on this topic, so we need to put that in perspective. And as a reminder, you know, we're allowing only oral comments, which were today. And there were some other parties who had made requests to switch around the agenda and comment yesterday out of the order, which we declined because this item had been agendized for today. And I would suspect, based on some individuals who were asking to change the order, you know, there would have perhaps been different, you know, nuance to the comments. So I think your point is well taken, Jessica.
So just to be specific, for example, Mrs. Lopez had a lot of concerns about methods last time, a year ago, and you've had discussions with her as well as other stakeholders in between, and I don't see in our staff reports that Mrs. Lopez or other people are saying, no, you really haven't gotten it right yet. And so that's what the point I'm trying to make is it appears to me that most of the objections are no longer present.
Yeah, and I think that might be an incorrect assumption. So the comments today, as Jessica had pointed out, were limited to changes that we'd made since last time. And so I think for us to assume that Ms. Lopez is 100% okay with the TMDL, I think would potentially be an incorrect assumption. What we've done in the past year is we have talked with each of the stakeholders, made sure that we understand where they're coming from, and we have addressed what we feel we can address. And I think there still are some outstanding concerns, but we're at a level where we feel like we've addressed everything we can.
So a given concerned stakeholder from a year ago did have the chance in this process to say, no, you still don't get what I'm saying. You still haven't fixed my concern. They have that opportunity, but I don't see any comments that their concerns are not adequately addressed. So I'm assuming that their concerns are adequately addressed.
Well, if you read the phrasing of what we put on the agenda, it doesn't say come and comment if you don't agree with it. It says comments are limited to the changes proposed since the May 13th, 2016 hearing.
I see.
We went a little beyond the scope of that. But so just the fact that someone correct hasn't said, I'm still not okay with things, they might have just been sticking to what's written here.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. And so then going beyond that, you've had at length discussions with a lot of these stakeholders. Do you have a sense that their level of objection is significantly less than it was a year ago? Or do you have the sense that it's still there, they just don't have a chance to comment any further?
You're asking me to speculate how they feel, which is tough.
I don't think that's...
We can't say, since they're not here, I don't want to say whether they're in agreement or not. The only thing I can say is they're not here to voice their disagreement.
But staff has had a lot of discussion with these stakeholders. I'm just asking, is there a general level of more acceptance than last year, or is it still at a sort of an impasse where it was at an impasse last year of different opinions?
I think we worked out some of the issues, but not all of the issues.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Or we were able to work out some of the issues and not all the issues.
Yeah, perfection is difficult to achieve, by the way. Ms. Gray?
Nothing.
Mr. Young?
I do have another follow-up question, so if I could.
And this is... covering all other thoughts or reflection you have on this, or no, I just want to try to, you know,
I'll make this my last one. Okay, so we adopt this, and now we have a tool that actually gets implemented by another document, which is 3.0.
Correct.
Ag Order 3.0. So could staff tell us?
And also the stormwater MS4 permits.
Right. So Selena stormwater permit, for example.
Kind of briefly just describe for us, does staff now use 3.0 once it has this document accepted by the State Water Board and start to affect some changes? In other words, you're going to start implementing this TMDL.
So we'd have to pull up the language in 3.0, but I believe there's language in there that addresses that they comply with TMDLs that are approved by probably OAL, I would imagine. And so
right,
we're not there yet, but we will get there eventually if you adopt it today. Is that correct, Jessica?
So once, let's just assume we're at that point that it's adopted. What does staff then do to implement this?
That would be depending on what's written in the agricultural order about the TMDL. And I'd have to pull that up. I don't have that memorized.
Okay. And Mr. Robertson, perhaps you could assist staff on that.
I was going to, because Jennifer has a background with the Salinas stormwater permit, I was actually going to use that as an analogy or as an example. So would you walk us through that?
Sure. So if I remember correctly from the Salinas stormwater permit, there's people here who can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Salinas stormwater permit essentially says that once a TMDL has been approved by OAL, the city has to start doing some things, and the first thing is to develop their plan, the waste load allocation attainment plan, and the permit spells out what that needs to, the components that plan needs to entail. So the permit has a trigger in it that says once a TMDL is approved, the city then has to come up with a plan on how they're going to address the TMDL.
So one thing also to look at in the basin plan amendment on page 15, it talks about implementation and discharges from irrigated lands, and it looks at, says current requirements in the agricultural order that will achieve the load allocations include implementing and updating as necessary management practices to reduce pesticide loading, developing and updating and implementing farm plans, implementing monitoring and reporting requirements, and so those will help kind of in 3.0 achieve, and there may be changes to that in 4.0 most likely to help achieve this TMDL.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So before we request for a motion, do we have any other concluding comments that staff would like to make on this particular item?
I think we would just stick with the recommendation before you. Okay. Adopt the TMDL.
All right, thank you. Any further comment at this time? So, we'll then bring this to a vote.
We need a motion.
But before making a motion, you want to make it?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to briefly say that I will be abstaining from whatever motion is put forward just because I was not present for the May meeting, and I understand there was significant input and deliberation.
Thank you, Ms. Cervantes. So do we have a motion?
I'll move for adoption of resolution number R3-2016-0003.
Right. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any further comment? All right, so we'll put this to a vote. Roll call, please.
Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter? Ms. Cervantes?
Abstain.
Mr. Delgado?
Yes.
Ms. Gray?
Aye.
Mr. Johnston?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion adopted and approved. So I thank you very much. And staff, thank you for also helping us answer all the further questions that we had. And glad to see we make progress on this item, which then at this time we do not have any additional items, but go ahead, Mr. Robertson.
So our final agenda item is item 22, I think it is, which is a field trip. And we are scheduled to leave on that field trip at 1 p.m. We have some vans on the way to take us on that. And there are some members of the public who followed the instructions on the agenda to pre-register to participate or go on the ride for this field trip. To the extent we can, we want to minimize personal vehicles because some of these will be farm roads. And so for those that are in the vans or already registered, we'll meet here at 1 p.m.
And I had a couple of questions on what's the anticipated conclusion of the field trip.
So I asked Mr. Packard that, who organized it, and he said approximately 2 hours, three-ish.
Three-ish.
Yeah. We move it up?
And
No,
because
we can't move it up because we told members of the public that it would begin at 1 p.m. or later, and they're anticipating joining us on the vans.
See, what happens now is that, you know, Mr. Young has remorse. He's like, gee, I should have asked more questions.
And I'm not rewarding your efficiency, and I want to acknowledge that.
This is one of the rare times it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, we'll finish so early. But also, as a procedural matter, this particular board hearing date is not closed, so I will officially close it at the end of a field trip. Agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So we reconvene outside where the vans will pick us up at 1 o'clock, and then do you have any further closed session items to cover, Jessica?
No, we have no closed session to discuss today.
Very good. And then, Tammy, you will coordinate lunch. Yes. So thank you very much.